All right, welcome everyone to the council meeting, the Roosevelt Borough Council meeting for September 6, 2022. It is 7:06 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 12, 2022, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was also published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Lou Enthcobb?
Here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Hirschsprung? Is absent. Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Back to business. I hope everyone had a nice summer. It is still officially summer, but sort of after Labor Day, back to business. So I'm going to open the floor for public comment on agenda items only. It's 7:07 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on the agenda? Maureen?
Maureen? I just wondered, hi, Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive, Roosevelt. Looks like we have 2 closed meetings. I just thought maybe... Were you supposed to just say what the topic of those meetings is, even if the substance is closed?
You said 2 closed meetings?
Maybe I misread it wrong. I thought that you're approving the minutes of closed meetings.
Oh, that's from, yeah, way back in March.
But I just thought you're supposed to say what the topics were. I was just wondering what the topics were. I thought you were supposed to say, even if you can't reveal the contents, what
I
the
have to
topic.
Go,
yeah, we don't generally print that when it comes up for approval.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we never have.
But it is on the March 21st with potential litigation, Green Acres encroachment. This was what was on the resolution. Back then, potential litigation, contractual, private property drainage, and potential litigation, NERCO Road right away.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then the other one for April was potential litigation, contractual, private property drainage, and contractual first responder services.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was the marijuana, but okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. I'm just going to interrupt for a minute to say that I just want to take note that Councilman Esikoff has joined.
Yeah, he was part of the roll call. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you made it in.
I didn't hear that.
You're not paying attention, madam.
Okay, is there anyone else in the public who would like to comment on an agenda item? Okay, being none, I will close the public portion at 7:09 p.m. We come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of August 2nd, 2022?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? No? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Agler?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, the August 2nd, 2022 minutes have been adopted. Now it comes to the closed meeting minutes for March 21st, 2022. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second. Bob's got it.
Bob?
Discussion?
Move.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. March 21st, 2022 minutes have been adopted. And finally, the minutes from April 4th, 2022, closed meeting minutes. Do I have a motion? Lou, and I think Bob second.
Yeah, that's fine, yes.
Discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicott?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremack?
Yes.
All right, and April 4th, 2022 meeting minutes have been adopted. We'll come to ordinances. We have one tonight, the first reading of Ordinance 2022-09, an ordinance setting the salary range and compensation of certain officials, positions, and employees in the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey. Now, a public hearing will be held on September 19th, 2022, which is our next meeting at 7 p.m. at the Borough Hall. But do I have a motion?
And via Zoom.
And via Zoom. Do I have a motion for the...
I'll make a motion to adopt at first reading.
Okay. Second?
I do.
Okay. Yes. Discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicott?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremack?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, just the public hearing, read that in the...
Okay, so I'll just reiterate that the public hearing will be held on September 19th, 2022, 7 p.m., the Borough of Roosevelt, and on Zoom. Come to consent agenda resolutions. We have one, resolution 22-87, payment of bills for September 6th, 2022.
I move that we pay the bills.
Okay. I'll second it.
Who seconded?
I do.
Oh, okay. Discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicott?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremet?
Yes.
Okay, the bills will be paid. Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. Councilmember Ethicott, Administration.
We're still moving along.
Okay. Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
We were on vacation.
We, Finance Committee?
Yes. Finance Commission. No report.
Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Yeah, just a couple of short things. The Public Works Department is finished building their cover for Well 4. Needs to be painted. That's next. And we had a short meeting of the Public Works Committee a couple weeks back, and one of the things we talked about was, do we need any additional traffic control devices for times like, when we had the 571 shut down, a month or so back. And Greg Defoe had given us an inventory of what we had, and we'll take a look at that and see if there's any other little items that we can add on to, kind of help the traffic flow around town without people getting lost and going the wrong way. So that was about it.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
We're under what? The committee does the generator fall.
I would suppose that could be either Public Works or utilities, and we did speak about that along with the other stuff in that short meeting. I think Joe probably talked about that a little.
Well, before Joe does, let me tell you, I was concerned about the generator starting up when we needed. It failed once. They found it had needed some more antifreeze or whatever, and they got it started. So I took the liberty of calling Warshauer, who installed it and has the service contract. And I was told that the generator tests itself. I don't know if you're aware, these generators have a calendar in them, and they test themselves once, so mine does, and so do several other people I know. And it tests themselves once a week at the same time every week. And I was told that ours tests on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I got into my car this morning and I went down to the borough hall and I sat in the car and listened for the test. Usually it runs the way it normally would run if there was a problem. You know, if there was a shortage and it makes noise, and it didn't make any noise at all. So I'm letting you know that somebody has to follow up on this and call Warshauer and find out why it didn't start up at Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if it, and come down and take a good look at this thing.
It definitely didn't start, Lou. The rain. I'm sorry, Mary. It's not the public portion yet.
Well,
it definitely didn't start, Lou.
What?
It definitely didn't start.
It didn't do what it had to do.
Yeah, which is run for 10 minutes.
I'm sorry?
At daylight savings time, it has changed. So you got to take that into account. Like mine used to run at 11, now it's running at 10, something like that. That's all.
Mary, it was set up since daylight savings time started, and it is supposed to go off at 10 a.m.
Which would be 11 o'clock next time.
But I mean, so you're certain it didn't go off?
It didn't go off. Okay. Look, whether it's the daylight saving time or regular time, whatever it is, I think my personal feeling is just that, and I'm not an expert by any means, is that in view of the fact that it didn't start today, and they told me it was time.
No, it's something we have to look into it.
I think somebody has to address it.
Yeah, I agree.
Who will be addressing it?
I don't know.
Well, Anna will contact them.
I have a phone number to call. If anybody...
Well, Anna has all the numbers. I mean, you can give it to her, but I know she knows who to call, who to contact.
All right. I'll give it to her tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lou.
Nothing else.
Okay. Councilmember Trammell, utilities?
Yeah, I got a few things, but I'll start with the generator. I am personally not satisfied with Warshaw. It took them forever to put it in. It took them forever to get it inspected. It took them forever to make it work when it needed to work. Apparently, they come around twice a year and check it, and they said it was in good shape and we had an emergency and it did not work. The generators at the water plant and the sewer plant, I am very concerned about. I don't know that I'm pretty sure that Warshauer second sources people to come out and install them as well as to test them and whatnot. So we have a contract with them until next May. I think we should look seriously into other people at that point, maybe even before. We had the meeting at Borough Hall. I wanted to be at Borough Hall with the meeting so we could look at the old town, the map of the old town. Anna is working with me, and we're looking at all the streets that have been paved, that the water lines have been swapped out, that the sewer lines have been swapped out, and which ones will get drainage. We're going to do a map so we'll know exactly which streets have been done, which ones need to be done. And
well,
it looks like
anyway, Joe, you don't need to look at a map. We have a record of every street that's been paved and
patched. Yeah, well, for some people who are like visually oriented, it's easier for me to look at a map and we can look at the map and see which ones are done and not done. The way the schedule is going now, by 2025, should we, and we did pass a resolution for this, pave, do drainage and do water and sewer on North Valley Road, then easily 90% of the old town will have new services. And that should last pretty much forever. Okay. There was problem, not a problem, but damage to the lift station and back of Borough Hall. Mike Lyons went over and looked. His guys are going to work on that. And we're going to arrange a public meeting at the water plant with John, and I would like for Ellen from the Environmental Commission to be there also. She has a lot of questions about the water in town here. Also, I have a key.
What did she have questions about?
The water.
About water. So this way people will know exactly what's going on, where the water comes from, how it gets spread out through the town. Okay, so she wanted to know about that. She's involved with the Watershed Institute and all this other stuff. So this way she can be there with John, and he will have the answers more than I can. I also know that I have a key fob to get into Borough Hall, but I don't think Steve does, and I don't think Bob does. So we all met there, and that came out. So I think it would be good for them to have a key fob also.
Well, they can stop into the Borough Hall, and Anna will give them one.
So I'm just saying.
Or have them email her.
Yeah, I'll stop in this week.
Okay.
Okay, and that's it for me.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Joe, you had a utilities meeting, correct?
Yeah, but Bob, Steve, and I are on the utilities committee and on the public works committee. So we all met together and kind of combined two meetings into one.
Okay, great.
It was a combo meeting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Reports of borough officials. Is there anyone who would like to speak?
I didn't have anything particular. Perhaps Mary is want to say something about Environmental Commission. Hello?
Mary, you're muted, Mary.
State name, address.
We have a very short meeting, so there wasn't.
No, I think things are going along fine, and hopefully everybody saw our printed newsletter that came out from the Environmental Commission, which Ellen really spearheaded. It was something that we needed to do for our certification, and we've got current events on there and things we've been working on.
So, would you just say your name for the record and address?
Oh, Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought that newsletter was wonderful, actually. I really enjoyed reading it. Anyone else? Any other borough officials?
I have Connie's community development report. I don't know if that's read now or...
Sure, give it now.
Okay, we met, and she wasn't sure if she was going to be, she had an appointment that she couldn't make the meeting, but she asked that I read her statement for her community development report. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In our last meeting, we discussed... Yes.
Huh?
Yes?
No.
Yeah, we didn't say anything. I'm not sure where that noise came from. But...
Okay, sure. All right. In our last meeting, we discussed two projects for grants from the county to be funded under the Open Space Acquisition Fund grant, as suggested by Gail Hutton. These were, one, to acquire the 12-acre parcel of land that was part of the Green Acres land swap, and two, a capital improvement project for the improvement and enhancement of the amphitheater. Both projects require applications, and neither can meet the September 15th deadline for submission. However, it was Dale's recommendation that we apply as soon as possible anyway. To move these projects forward, our attorney would need to prepare two resolutions for our meeting, our next meeting. The first resolution would be for a grant that would pay 50% with a matching 50% to be paid from the borough. The fund for Roosevelt would pay 50% of the borough's obligation, which is estimated to be approximately $15,000.
And that is, Bob, for the Green Acres, for the 12 acres?
Yes. I believe that's for the
12 acres.
Mm-hmm. The 12 acres, yes.
Okay.
The second.
I'm sorry, what was it? $15,000?
Yes.
Thank you.
I can send, Connie emailed this to me, so I can send a copy of the email to everybody if you.
Okay. Yes, please. At least me, that would be helpful.
Sure.
Afterward. Thank you.
Me too.
The second resolution would be for the concept support for moving forward with design and funding for the Monument Amphitheater Improvement and Enhancement Project. Due to the first project fitting more fully within the open space objective and no design is required, it was recommended that this application be completed first. Once the resolution is approved for the second project and the design is completed and approved, the application process for the second project can commence. So that's what she wanted to have stated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Like I said, I can send a copy of this, what she had written down to the
public. You can send it to me, Bob, and I'll forward it out to you.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks. Now, I know mm-hmm. with these projects, the resolution needs to have like a title, a grant title.
Yeah, Connie wasn't sure.
On the application, so I think a little more information might be needed. And as far as what dollar amount for the second?
Well, she couldn't come up with a dollar amount until we have a design. So to have the design process completed so that we can come up with a cost of what that design would cost.
And who's doing the design?
I guess that was something that was been discussed back and forth. I don't know if we have anybody that's been working on a design.
Usually it's your borough engineer, but I don't know if they.
No, if I could just jump in, because I was at the initial meeting when we discussed this with Gail Hunton. I think Gail will recommend somebody if this moves along for the amphitheater project. She would recommend somebody, but we're not at that phase yet. What we need to do is have a resolution of support for the idea of going, that we will be forwarding a concept design. This is how I understood it, but it was a lot of information that went by us, pretty quickly. And I don't think that Gail's idea was to keep it in house and really not necessarily go through, our engineering, and cause Gail was going to help out with it. And I think also, Kate John Alder, we have a lot of local talent, who have expressed interest in helping to, work on the concept design. And, I think they wanted to kind of keep it in house and keep the expenses down as well. So I think the idea was not to use our engineering firm for that, but to use our local talent.
I think Connie's main concern was both of these items have been talked about for quite a while. So what are the concrete steps that we should be doing as a council to move these items forward?
Well, I would disagree with saying both of them. The idea of purchasing the 12 acres, the borough purchasing, is fairly new.
Okay.
The amphitheater, yes, we've been talking about that for quite some time. Because as we all know, it's become very dilapidated and needs rehab. The 12 acres is a brand new issue.
Okay.
The grants require certain steps. I think the first step is to have a public hearing within 12 months prior to an application to talk about what it is we would like to do and get public input on it. And then the second step would be to have a resolution by the governing body to authorize the application. I know that Kathleen has been through this before, and she knows the kind of steps that we need to take with this. But I think we could put forth a resolution of support if we wanted to preserve the 12-acre Block 7 on the north side of Lake Drive there. It doesn't take anything in terms of a real application for that. You need an application, but it's nothing elaborate like the kind that we've done before in regard to previous grant applications for the amphitheater. It basically just states that that the council is in favor of this and wants to move ahead with it. And even though we would miss the deadline, Gail said they might grant preliminary approval prior to of the concept plan to preserve that land if we wanted to go ahead with it. And I also wanted to say I did have that a discussion of that added to the agenda and closed because it may involve negotiations with landowners and that kind of thing. So we will be discussing it in closed.
I'd like to move that the council be in support of the amphitheater reconstruction, just to get it started.
Do we need that, Christina, for the amphitheater? Or can we just apply?
Are you trying to move to show your support to consider the application? I don't think that's necessary. You can pass a resolution in support once the application is drafted and you have more concrete ideas. But if you're all in agreement, we can just move forward that way.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
So if the consensus...
The consensus that we would like to move forward with an application to rehab the amphitheater area. So is everyone in agreement with that?
Yes,
I am.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I thought so.
And the second part was the acquisition of the 12 acres on the north side of Lake Drive. But if you think it's wise to discuss that in closed, because it involves...
I think that needs to be discussed in the executive session. We have that on the agenda for this evening. So,
and Connie may be available. She may come in late, so she may be able to clarify her ideas in closed session.
Great.
Okay. All right. Any other borough official? All right, we're going to move on to unfinished business. Is there any old business that anyone would like to bring up?
Okay. I'd like to just bring up a topic and just see how people feel about it. Sometime we're going to have to, or we should, I think, go into live meetings. Just want to see how the council feels about that, because I think there's some value in having live meetings. I think you get better attendance from the public. I think there's a little more give and take among governing body members. It's a lot easier to share information and paperwork and all of that. I don't know what everybody else is doing, all the other towns locally are doing, but I just wanted to have a discussion on this just to see what the council feels about it.
Personally, I thought we would actually go in back to person in the summer, and then Omicron and the BA5 started ramping up, so I sort of let it be. And now the government keeps talking about it ramping up again in the fall once the weather turns. So I didn't want to go back in person and then have to go back to Zoom. So I was kind of thinking we should just wait a couple of weeks, maybe till October, and see how the virus is progressing and make a decision then. Because the government's telling us it's going to really ramp up. They're getting the second
monkeypox,
and also, you know, the second round of, I guess the third round of boosters, second or third, is becoming available soon. And so I was taking a sort of wait and see, which I honestly thought we would go back to in person in June or July. That then all, from what I understand, there's still 1,000 cases a day being diagnosed. So I thought maybe we should wait maybe one or two more meetings. And at that point, we will be into October after, well, not the next meeting, but the one after, and make a determination then, seeing how what's happening. How does everybody else feel?
I'm in favor of doing personal meetings as soon as possible.
Me too.
Yeah, so am I.
Wait. Everybody went too fast. Everybody's in agreement to do it as soon as possible?
Yes.
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 Joe, Mike?
Yes for Joe.
I think, yes, but I think we would have to take precautions. I don't think we should rush into it and just go into it at the next meeting. We may need to advertise that we are going back.
Oh, we definitely have to advertise.
Yeah, and so I'd like to leave some time if we decide to do this for the public to realize that we are going back, if we decide to do that, into live meetings. And my other question would be, if we're going to live meetings, would there be a way for the public to join in if they didn't feel uncomfortable going to a live meeting? So could we have a hybrid meeting with a Zoom or a remote kind of adjunct to it for the public?
I don't have a laptop or to be able to set up a Zoom in the council room. I don't have a computer out there. That would be possibly a consideration to purchase a laptop.
Well, the next meeting is September 19th. I think that's a little too soon. Do you want to say October 3rd or October 17th and go back to in-person then?
That sounds good to me.
Unless we hear otherwise from the government.
But I also think that if we're going to do that, we need to work with Anna and the people who clean the building to make sure the good precautions post-meeting cleanup is done too. If public is coming, we might make sure all the chairs are wiped down. You know, all of those kinds of things. I think we need good sanitation protocols in place too, if we're going to do it, and good spacing. But that could be worked out.
Yeah, well, that's simple logistics, but I would say, why don't we say for now that we'll go back in person October 17th. That gives us two more Zoom meetings, two more opportunity, you know, more opportunity to let the public know. And if something changes in that time, we can act accordingly.
Okay. You know,
10/17 is, I'm going to advertise a
in-person
meeting.
You know, if you don't wait, let's not wait until this virus goes away, because it isn't going away very soon. I think we're going to have it for a very long time. This is not just the flu.
What is the date you were talking about for in person?
October 17th.
17, okay.
Now I could advertise the remaining meetings in person, or do one meeting at a time?
I would do one meeting at a time for now, just to see what happens in the fall. I mean, look, it is still summer, so let's see if it's contained or it ramps up, or, you know, what's happening.
I think we should memorialize this with a resolution too, if we want to go back to October 19 to live meetings.
Do you mind if I just mention one thing, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but from my experience, it's with other municipalities that we are the borough attorney for. The Zoom platform that they use in order to hybrid their meetings is a special type of software and equipment that they have to implement in the borough, because a computer won't pick up the sound of the whole room. And if you have everybody having their own microphones, there's an echo and a basically a sound issue. So I just wanted to bring that to your, the council's attention that it's more complex than just having a computer in the room if you're going to do a hybrid. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Thank you, Christine. That's helpful.
I understand what you're talking about, and I would like to personally look into it. Might be able to get around all of that. So I'll check it out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on to new business.
So just, Mike, I thought you said October 19th. I thought he said the 19th. I just want to make sure it's October 17th.
Oh. Yes.
Okay. And then I'll be advertising for that meeting in person.
The meeting before that, October 3rd would be the first one in October.
No, October 17th, Joe, is what.
No, I understand. There will be a meeting on October 3rd also.
Oh, right.
Zoom, right.
Okay.
All right, new business. We have bulk pickup. It's October 17th, 2022, which will be preceded by the townwide yard sale on September 24th with a rain date of the 25th. I just would like to tell everyone, and you might want to tell your neighbors, that whatever is not sold at the yard sale or not, cannot stay at the curb until bulk pickup, because it's 3 weeks. And we don't want a lot of junk like sitting around for 3 weeks at the curb. So anything from the townwide yard sale has to be brought back in. And also, I wanted to announce that we're not 100% definite, but it's in the works for a family movie night on the night of September 24th, with a rain date of the next weekend. But September 24th, where Recreation is planning a family movie night.
Do you know what movie?
Pardon me?
You know what movie is being played?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Addams Family 2, which seemed like a good choice because Halloween is not that far off. So so that will be a nice Saturday, because we'll have the townwide yard sale in the afternoon and the movie at night. Still should be warm, and hopefully it won't rain and rain on our parade.
So is it rain date the following week, which is October 1st?
No, the rain date will be October 7th. I know, I misspoke. October 7th.
No, that's the Friday.
I know, that's the rain date.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Friday night.
Okay.
Is there smoking in the lodges?
And refreshments.
And what is the date of the movie?
The date of the movie is September 24th. We'll be sending out a flyer, and it'll be on the website. But just to tell you now, the date will be September 24th.
Okay.
And with a rain date of October 7th, which is actually a Friday evening.
Saturday.
And there'll be the usual fare, pizzas and that kind of thing.
I haven't worked that out yet, but we'll see. I don't think that'll be a problem. I mean, I think that's feasible. Okay. Is there any other new business anyone would like to bring up? Mike?
Hey, Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. I just wanted to ask if the borough, will the Environmental Commission and the Planning Board have the ability to make their own decision as to when they want to go back to in-person meetings? Or if the council does it, will the Environmental Commission have to do the same?
Christina, can you answer that from a legal point? Because I would say make your own decision, but I don't know if that's Correct.
I'm sorry, do you mind repeating the question?
Yes. When the borough begins to go back to in-person, does the Environmental Commission and the Planning Board need to follow suit, or can they stay Zoom?
No, they can stay Zoom. They can make their own decisions as they're separate boards. So
that's it.
The DLGS hasn't demanded it yet.
Right.
I don't think they
do. No, generally, the Environmental Commission, we find that very few people are participating in the meetings, but it's a good deal more convenient for the people who are on it. At least I think so.
Yeah, so, same with the planning board.
We've discussed that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's basically what I want you to ask. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other new business? All right. I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 7:47 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on any item at all? Maureen?
Hi, Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. Thank you. I have three issues. Two of them are really quick, and the third one is hopefully going to be some discussion. The first one is, I don't know if you're aware, but a couple months ago, the recycling truck backed up and slashed a huge gouge in the side of my neighbor's truck that was parked on the street. It backed up to the triangle, and it is enormous. Anyway, and it was a hit and run. And I know that because another neighbor saw it actually happening. And I mean, from my point of view, I would not want to use that company that did that. That's totally illegal to have hit and run. How could you not know? But anyway, that's my two cents on it. I would try to get a different company because whatever. That's just point. The second thing is another request, which I made before, which is to have a leaf pickup.
We know that. I mean, everyone.
We won't have to dump them in the woods because people complain on like the Facebook page or whatever about dumping in the woods. And
we don't have anybody, unfortunately, locally, any other municipal governments that will do that, that will pick up or leave. So that's the problem.
It's also cost prohibitive. It's very expensive. But even if we were able to pay for it,
I understand. So does that mean it's okay to dump them in the woods?
No.
We've heard from the environment.
What do you do with them?
So many years about this.
Mulch them.
I don't have a machine.
You have a lawnmower?
I have this little electric lawnmower that it wouldn't possibly mulch the amount of leaves that especially come from the triangle, those five oak trees. They all blow onto my yard and my neighbors. So
you can make a layered compost garden with it. There are ways to use it.
I don't have a good answer for you, Maureen. We just don't.
I'm trying to help, Maureen.
We talk about leaf pickup.
I understand that. It's just that, I don't know, it's a problem. So anyway, that's just.
It's a big problem. It's been a big problem for many years.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was at the table now for almost 18 years, and we've talked about it for 18 years.
Same nonsense every year.
Okay, well, just so you know, the guys that get paid to do the lawns, they blow them into the woods. Mm-hmm. So, residents from doing it is anybody going to stop them because they blow them? I know they do because I had them do it and I didn't tell them to do it, but that's what they did. Anyway, that's just that. But the thing that I really wanted to bring up is that I walk my dog every day and I started going all the way down to end of Pine for a lot of different reasons. And it became really obvious because almost all the houses, I'd say.
You're talking about towards the sewer?
Yeah, from the triangle to Mike's house, sewer. And I do that like 2-3 times every day. And the vast majority of people have mosquito pesticides. The reason I know it is because I see them spraying and then they put one teeny little sign per yard on it. And I thought, wow, this is Roosevelt. People are using pesticides. And so I spent a whole day researching it and looked up what Mosquito Joe, Lawn Buddies, there's like three different ones that they use. And they're synthetic pyrethroids, and they are dangerous.
My husband is highly allergic to mosquitoes, highly. So I looked into it thinking maybe, you know, if it wasn't too dangerous, I would spray as a present for him to, and I was like, whoa, no. It is highly dangerous. Are you proposing?
Well, it's dangerous and it's widespread danger. It's not just dangerous to pets that, you know, I won't let my dog.
Green, what does the county do when they do their spraying?
No, I'm talking about people having their yards sprayed.
No. Listen.
Yeah, Lou's asking, the county sprays every spring. Do you know what they use?
Right. Now, what does the county use?
It's on the website, and it's also posted.
It's on their website.
Well, we can not have them do it. I mean, that's our option. There's no gun they can hold over our heads to make us do. I'm horrified at that. But the synthetic pyrethroids, they are neurotoxic. They're neurotoxic. They are endocrine disruptors for human beings. Kill bees. They don't just kill mosquitoes. They kill bees. They kill birds and they harm the food that birds eat. Birds eat bugs. They eat other things that these things contaminate. They are really dangerous. And I looked up and it looked to me, I could post this, you know, long thing about research papers. It's called beyondpesticides.org, where I found a lot of the information. And it said that there are 7 states that the state law does not preempt local control. And it said New Jersey is one of them. Now, I didn't research, you know, I don't know if that's accurate or not. So that's a legal issue. But if we are allowed, I would ask the council to regulate this stuff. I mean, first off, we can prohibit it. I would request that, number one, prohibit it. If we can't prohibit it, then make them put many signs, not just one sign. Make them put many, like at least 4 signs. There's model ordinances on this website even that they have to notify neighbors in advance of having their yard sprayed. I mean, there's a state law requires the signs, and that's because it's dangerous. So anyway, I was really, really upset about it. And I think it's so many people there are doing it because I think they get a discount. If you get your neighbor to do it, you get a discount. Because one of them has a sign up, Lawn Buddies. Anyway, there's tons of information out there on the danger, and there's tons of information research that they really are ineffective for mosquito control. They're not
all bad, and they don't even kill the mosquitoes.
They're because just like anything else, it stops working. It stops. So anyway, I mean, this organization has door hangers. I mean, you know, we could educate, whatever. I thought about going to the Environmental Commission. It also goes into the groundwater and goes into the water and kills the fish. I mean, the stuff is unbelievably dangerous. And they say it's chrysanthemums. No, it's not. They say it's chrysanthemum. No, they're synthetic pyrethroids. They're synthetic. And they're, like I said, there's so much research on them. And I would, you know, I don't know if it should be the Environmental Commission or what. But the first question is there state preemption on it? Because there are state regs requiring the signs, et cetera.
Yeah, I would ask the Environmental Commission to look
at that. So I'm trying to find the exact state law that is applicable here, but in the meantime, the way that preemption works between the local and state government is that even though the state might have regulations about signs that are required, if the statute is, if it allows the local municipalities to further restrict and put in place further requirements, then that would be allowed by the Borough of Roosevelt. So I'm trying to find it now while you're all talking, but generally you would be able to further restrict it so long as the state does not allow, does not forbid that.
Okay, well that is the first step. But I don't know, does anybody think this is important or?
I do.
I don't think you could tell anyone, at least in this meeting, that it's not.
I think the Environmental Commission might be able to look into it and see if there are any alternatives that are not harmful like that. I know that some people have found alternative treatments for mosquitoes, natural kind of substances.
I'll jump in there. I have found a natural alternative, and it's twice as expensive, and they're going to be here Thursday to do it for my party.
Can you speak up, Joe?
Okay, the synthetic stuff I see is about a little over $200 per treatment, and the organic stuff, which is cedar oil and garlic, it's over $400. So I'm going to use that. I can let you guys know how it works out, or you'll know Saturday if you're here at the house. So, but there are alternative treatments. They're just not cheap. That's all. So.
The point, though, is that we can't require households to use organic. So,
there could be a public
information. The point is well taken as far as at least warning neighbors with better signage. So if they want to avoid, I know on my street, I don't believe anyone at all has done that. So I wasn't even, I wasn't aware of pine because I don't think anyone on Homestead uses, any kind of chem lawn products. If you saw how brown all our lawns are and how many mosquitoes there are, I think
sometimes people aren't aware that there's other alternatives that might be natural, and they're not aware that these chemicals are very harmful to insect life, all of our pollinators that are really important for agriculture, and also birds that eat it. So maybe we could think about something, and maybe it could fall under one of our Environmental Commission initiatives to put out some sort of flyer just to make people aware of.
I was thinking the same thing. A flyer would be good.
This issue.
Yeah.
And then also if all the council looks into environmental health and safety could take it up and look into it and what they're recommending.
So, what you're saying, though, is it is possible, if we wanted, that the borough could require better signage?
So the way I'm getting more information now as we are having this conversation, but so there is no state preemption. It is left to the local municipalities. However, there are constraints that are placed upon the DEP by the state. So there is DEP approval. So even though you do have the authority to regulate, you have to get the DEP's approval. There is a Right to Farm Act that I'm sure has some requirements and restrictions within that I would have to look into further to get the specifics. And there is notice and notification requirements that are able to be put in place that the DEP is likely to approve. So it is within your power to provide more signage or notification in whatever way you deem is fit.
Yeah, so perhaps we can
subject to the DEP approval, like I said.
Could we actually prohibit the synthetic pyrethroids?
So I think that would have to depend upon what actual chemical you're referring to and whether that is allowed to be prohibited based on that Right to Farm Act. I don't know if in the Right to Farm Act there's specific chemicals that are and are not allowed to be regulated. I don't know much about the chemical that you're speaking of, so I would have to look into that further, but I can definitely get the mayor and council an answer and they can relay the message to you.
Could we require anybody who's going to spray to go to Borough Hall and provide proof that they have a license to use insecticides and to also notify the borough what they're using? Are there regs involving that?
I think that that would be considered a notice requirement if you are going to allow or require whoever is going to be spraying to notify the borough beforehand. So I think that would be considered a notification requirement. As far as a license, I mean, if you have to have that license to have those chemicals, then I don't see why that would be unreasonable as well. But I would have to confirm that within the there's a few statutes that are interplay and conflict here. So without looking into it further, I wouldn't be able to give you a straight answer right now.
Okay. Well, at this point, we have some time to work on it because, you know, if we could get whatever is possible to be put in place by next spring, that would be ideal.
And considering the DEP does need to approve these, it's likely that other municipalities in the local areas have already gone through this process, and you can see model statutes or model ordinances that have been approved in the past by the DEP. So we can, I can absolutely look into that as well.
Thank you. That would be great. Thank you.
So will this be in front of a committee or the Environmental Commission or?
Well, we'll have, Christina will give us some basic information first, and then we can take it from there, decide who should lead, you know, lead this.
I think the Environmental Commission would probably weigh in because that's where they specialize, right? But as far as approving any type of ordinance, that would be the governing body.
Michael?
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of things in that.
Name.
Michael Tickson, 37 North Valley Road. For the Right to Farm Act, of course, would only apply to agricultural properties. So we were talking about residential properties, so it wouldn't apply there. The other problem, of course, that we would have, which we always have on everything, is enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And
who would actually enforce this thing? So we can make all the rules we want, but if we don't enforce them, we don't have any workable procedure for enforcing them. You know, we have to decide is the code official going to do this? Are we going to give the code official the resources he needs to do it? So these are the questions that the council is going to have to deal with, I would suggest. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in the public got anything? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion at
8:04.
And we are going into executive session tonight, so Kathleen will read statement.
Okay, Resolution 22-88, providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof, wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to holding of a meeting or a portion thereof, from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session. That the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters, items falling under attorney-client privilege, NJDEP adjudicator rehearing, potential land acquisition and personnel. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be closed to the public after no further action is required in the matter. So we need a first and a second on Resolution 22-88.
You got it.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicott?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Who's 609-915-9924?
That is Connie Herstrom.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Connie.
When did you join?
I joined at 7:55.
Oh, I wish you, sorry, I wish you made note of that. I didn't have that. 7:55. Okay, so I need to include you in the roll call. I feel bad. Ms. Herstrom, do you agree with Resolution 2288?
I do.
Okay, so I now have you, and I'll have you arrive at 7:55. Okay, sorry about that. All right, let me make sure we got Steve, Joe, you're 908-618-3603, yeah, Connie, Bob, Christine, Lou, and Jerry Stankiewicz is on during executive session. So, do you want to do personnel first? Okay, we are out of closed session.
Okay. Our next meeting is September 19th, Monday again. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. See you on the 19th.
Okay. Time out.
9:29.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Christina.
Good night. Have a good one.
You too.